Welcome to episode 73 of Girl Take the Lead, where each week we explore womanhood and leadership, and I'm your host, Dio Kenny. Today I'm joined by Brenda Harrington to discuss her book, Access Denied, Addressing Workplace Disparities and Discrimination. In her book, Brenda addresses what it takes to pave a path to success. She explains that beyond degrees, experience, and competence, and working hard, it is necessary to interpret an organization's culture, the behaviors that are tolerated, and those that are rewarded, and who the power players are through a lens of diversity and inclusion. Brenda is a certified executive coach and the founder of Adaptive Leadership Strategies, LLC. She works globally in public, private, government, intergovernmental, humanitarian, and nonprofit organizations. She spent more than 30 years in private industry in positions ranging from first-level management to senior executive leadership. What I loved about her book and talking with her was the way we can probably all relate to being denied access by learning how to work around it and creating strategies to better compete. It begins by cracking the code. Something I can admit I was not very good at, but perhaps you can be much better. Enjoy the listen. And here you go. Brenda, welcome to Girl Take the Lead. We are so excited to have you here. And after reading your book, I was so moved. And so I'm so glad that you're here.
Thank you for having me, Yolanda. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. So maybe we can begin by first, if you wouldn't mind introducing yourself to the listeners and giving them a little bit about your background and why you wrote your book.
Certainly. Well, I am a certified executive coach. I've had my coaching practice for about 12 years now, but I've been coaching for much longer than that. I am grateful to be spending this time in my life and in my career doing something that I really love to do, which is helping leaders to become the best version of themselves. I learned in more than 30 years in private industry that when you get the people part right, amazing things can happen. And so I'm grateful for the client organizations and individuals that I get to work with who allow me into, who welcome me into that really vulnerable space to help them to develop and grow and meet themselves again for the first time.
Right. And so the book came out of just your passion and your commitment?
The book came out of passion, commitment, experiences, and triggers in the spring of 2020. With all that we experienced here in the United States in the spring of 2020, I felt it was a call to action. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a platform in particular. I'm not Oprah. You know, I don't have a radio show. I don't have a podcast. But I felt like I wanted to get into the conversation and begin some meaningful conversations. And I kept hearing just interesting commentary on how people were interpreting what they were experiencing. Mm-hmm. And it was stunning to me that there were so many things that were still so pervasive and so prevalent, just impacting people day to day who were just trying to live. Not do anything, you know, outrageous, over the top, just trying to live and work and have a meaningful life.
Yeah. Well, I know my podcast came out of something that I saw, which was that too many women were in the corner, not speaking up, not taking the lead, you know, which is really where I came from. And you came from it too in seeing something that was going on and that you needed to speak up about.
Yes. Right. A lot of alignment there for sure.
Yeah. So you kind of start by talking about cracking the code, which for me was Boy, I read that and I went, offer the question, do I need to step up my political game? Oh my God. I went,
Yeah.
whew, when I was coming up, playing the game, being political, there was like a judgment about that. Like you were not supposed to be political. You were supposed to be all about being authentic. Quotes around authentic. But when that was sort of code for, I'm going to do it my way, no matter what
Yeah.
is going on. And I wonder if you could just talk a little bit about that, because that is something that I think can have a have like can mislead some people to think that there's a value judgment. But it just is, isn't it?
There's a value judgment with everything. Okay, so I think we have to be honest with ourselves and realistic about, why we're in a space and what we intend to accomplish when we're there. And I say that because in the book, I talk a lot about expectations, which I think we'll get to. In general, we grow up thinking that, if we are educate ourselves and we do great work and we do all these things, and those things are going to be recognized and rewarded. Well, maybe, but that's not all of what we have to do, especially if we're women, especially if we're women of color, especially if we're people of color. Okay. And so it is so important to understand the politics. People cringe when they hear that word. They cringe when they hear words like networking and things like that. But it's necessary, okay, because people do business with and interact most effectively with people they're familiar with, that perhaps look like them, that they're comfortable with, and that they understand. But when there are differences introduced, it makes people uncomfortable. And so it's really important to understand how that plays out in your environment, in this case, your work environment, your professional environment, right? And figure out what the impact that will have on you and how you're going to respond.
Well, and I think you're asking us to take a larger view.
Absolutely.
Because so I think for me, when I was coming up, it was all about me, sensitive
Oh.
little creature.
Oh, yeah.
And what you're asking us to do is step back, look at all of the dynamics and the things that are going on and how things perhaps are being structured, who's in power. Who's making decisions?
Yeah. So,
And,
I'm sorry, I'm gonna cut you off. You got me so excited here in this conversation because it's really, if you can think of your work environment as a template that you overlay onto, say, a chessboard, a game board, imagine what you could see if you were just moving these constellations and pieces around people and circumstances and things like that. And we don't do that. We all think of ourselves. Those early years, we've accomplished so much. We've graduated, we've been recognized for academic success and all these things. And then we transition into, using my air quotes, the real world, and we realize that there are a lot of people who have accomplished these same things. And then the games begin, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and I feel like we waste a lot of time trying to crack the code, trying to figure it out, because we're waiting for somebody to acknowledge us and recognize us for all of those things that no longer have the same degree of relevance.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know I mentioned to you that I went into my career very naively. I was the first one to ever go in business. My dad had been in education as a teacher. So, I mean, I was like, yes, I'm taking this by storm and I'm just going to achieve, keep
Yeah.
achieving, because that's all I had done in my life.
Right.
And the first time that someone else got promoted instead of me, I was perplexed. Like, how did that happen? Like, why did that happen?
Yeah.
Do you think that the younger generations, you and I are both boomers, but do you think our Gen Zers and our millennial daughters and women are coming through less naive? Do you think they're a little bit more in tuned?
I hope so. I don't say that that's universal. But I say that I hope so because I think it's more likely that younger generations have seen, are not first generation. They've seen their parents and particularly their mothers have successful careers, okay? And so they have different examples, not necessarily role models, but they have different examples of what this looks like, right? And so I think that some, take advantage of that learning, and others perhaps not so much. So I've come across some actually that resent it, because it took their parents away from them or led to separation and, things like that. But I do think that they have more, awareness, I'll say, than we had. And I want to just touch on something that got my attention in your last comment. You said that, you were going into business and, your dad had not had that same experience. I relied on my father for everything. I went to him for advice for absolutely everything. And then at one point, when I was preparing for a relocation, I was working for AT&T at the time, and we were talking about relocation packages and things like that. And I was having a conversation with him that just, I mean, he would, there was no way that he could assist me. How could he? It's not something that he ever experienced, right? And I realized at that point, that I needed to seek alternative counsel, if you will.
And that's why you bring in the importance of having advisors and having a
Yes.
network.
Yes,
Yeah.
absolutely.
I think they
Absolutely.
can also help you understand some things. In that same situation, when I was aware that someone else had gotten promoted and my good friend Narit and I were walking, and she just gave me the slap across the face, like, girlfriend, wake up. This is
Right.
how it's cool. This is how it happens. She was so much more grounded than I was and helped me through so much. I just see that as women helping women,
Right.
right? I mean, I just think being able to trust somebody to give you feedback in those moments, as you've mentioned.
We all need someone to say, girlfriend, wake up, and maybe throw a cold glass of water on us or something, and just say, okay, what are you doing? What do you think about? But what is so interesting is that some people are not accepting of that because we go through these stages of anger and frustration and sadness and grief at some point. What did I do wrong? What could I have done better? And we waste all this time blaming ourselves until we get to where we could have started. I won't say should have, could have started. And so, this is not dress rehearsal. We don't get any do-overs, right? And so, my hope, my wish with the book and other work is that we accelerate that process.
Good. Regarding expectations, I know that this is very near and dear to your heart, and I thought that was just so great the way that you put that into the book. And maybe you could give some, examples that you had in the book of this. And I loved your comments about the F word.
Yes. And your audience is, couldn't look
Cringing
at
in the moment. Should I
right now,
put
right? But the word we're referring to does have four letters, but it's fair, right? And
Exactly.
so many times I hear people, well, that's not fair. And
Oh, God, I can remember saying that myself. Like, how could this be fair that this guy got promoted? Like, where's the fairness in that? Well,
Well, has no place. And that's why the politics and paying attention, all the things we're talking about, are so important. We fail to set realistic expectations. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't be expected to be recognized for good work and for your accomplishments and things like that. But that doesn't mean it's going to happen. When I talk about reading the room and understanding who the power players are and things like that, you have to pay attention to not only behavior that's tolerated, but what's rewarded. It has less to do with what they say and more to do with what actually plays out. And so if you look around and you see that, certain groups of people are not being moved forward or certain people, groups of people are not participating in projects or given visibility and exposure, have a seat at the table, any of those things, right? Then why do you think it's going to be any different for you? I mean, and you really have got to give that some meaningful thought. And for a lot of people, that's very difficult. And I hesitated because for some it's painful. It's very personal. I've
Yeah.
always wanted to be the vice president of whatever at this firm. Well, that may not be realistic.
Yeah.
So we've got to play the hand we're dealt. And we can't try to play soccer on a baseball diamond, I say,
Right,
right?
but I think you also offer us that you can create strategies
Absolutely.
for the game you're in. And I think that's what you get to help your clients with a great deal, like opening up the game a little bit more so that there's some new strategies and new
Right,
people
right, right.
to align with and to count on to have your back.
Yes, I think we always have choices, and you can't choose to be docile and passive in this,
Right.
right? And
Right.
so that's all part of it. That's all part of it. And then when you kick that strategic plan into gear, then you see if you're able to make progress. And if you are, then perhaps that changes the circumstances a little bit, changes the possibilities. But you definitely have to take time to have to develop and implement a strategy.
Right. Most of the time, I was pouting so much that I didn't have time to do strategy.
What was your ice cream flavor of choice? No, just
Exactly. One of the things that I think you told me with your book was that you wanted to help the reader know they weren't alone, that the things that
Yes.
they felt
Oh, yes.
are real, like gaslighting and other things that you can talk a little bit about that, because I thought that was. That's really important for them
Yeah.
to trust their intuition, to trust how they're what they're seeing and what they're feeling. Most of us want to, just dismiss it.
We dismiss it or we try to fix it.
Right.
And many times it's not ours to fix. I'll go get another degree. I'll work later. I'll cancel my vacation. I'll work weekends. I'll take on another project. That's not what this is.
Right.
And so we first, we have to certainly consider our own accountability, whether or not there's anything we could have done or should have done differently. No question. But in many cases, we ignore our inner voice. We ignore that intuition that's trying to tell us something.
Yeah.
And it's a very lonely and sometimes dark experience. And so that's why I set out with that to say, no, you're not alone and you're not crazy. If you're feeling something, if you're sensing something, chances are there's something to pay attention to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think also, too, one of the things you mentioned is, and I can imagine that if we're listening to ourselves and we're tuned into that, that we can maintain our identity, which is what one of the key points of your book. And I loved your example of the leadership retreat. Oh my gosh. You have to tell our listener about that.
Yeah. Large organizations for the most part love to take managers and leaders off into the woods somewhere, that they wouldn't never choose to go on their own and get together and typically participate in strategic planning or something like that. And some team building often is appropriate. I had the experience of going on several, I'll call them historic adventures during my tenure with one particular organization. And I found myself in Richmond, Virginia, exploring a lot of things, everything from antebellum architecture to Patrick Henry's speech, "Give me liberty or give me death," and on. Just go down the list of things that I really didn't have an interest in exploring, certainly not with my professional colleagues, as the only Black member of the executive leadership team. And so I did everything that I could do, I thought, to protect myself from the things that would be uncomfortable and inappropriate. I even voiced my displeasure during a dinner, which I thought was somewhat harmless. Out comes a gentleman in costume and character as George Washington. And he starts to talk about the Revolutionary War. And he said, "We had no choice but to go to war against the British. Otherwise, we would have been relegated to slavery, just like those blacks." And I was the only Black person in the room. And so I, and then we were in the middle of nowhere. We had been taken out to this restaurant, Hanover Tavern or someplace, by bus. And so I was not able to get back to the hotel. I left the room. And when we got back to the hotel, I left the event. I left the retreat and returned home. You know, I just let things play out over a few weeks until I decided, you know, what I was going to do. But that degree of insensitivity is one example of many, unfortunately. You know, oh, it's just history, you know, why would it, you know? Well, it's history that I don't want to explore again with my professional colleagues. It's the same as it's inappropriate for a business setting.
That's
But there's,
boundaries, right? You're setting boundaries around what is appropriate for you and what is not.
absolutely, absolutely. And you're put in those, you're put in situations where you don't have the opportunity to set boundaries. As I said, I took some steps, you know, to protect myself, and I still kind of found myself tied on the train tracks, right?
I think that in the moments that we're called upon to use our voice and to make a stand, it's almost like we don't think about it, right? It's like, it just happens. It's one of these moments of courage. That there's just nothing else, and you're willing to say, this is enough. And it's not, I'm not a party to it any longer. This is enough. I appreciated very much being able to stand for others because in that moment, you weren't just standing for yourself, you were standing for everyone else that's going to come behind and understand what was going on there. I wonder if it's getting easier for our millennial and Gen Zers because of different inclusion initiatives that are happening in their businesses and their companies. And I guess we're both hopeful that that's the case. I mean, I look at when I came up and there was nothing, I could never even imagine claiming myself a woman of ethnicity, which is really what I was. Chavez gave it away, clearly, as my last name. But I almost look at it now with the younger generations that they can claim whatever they want. You know, they don't have to be Mexican enough. They don't have to say, I don't speak Spanish. I can't be Mexican. You know, yes, you can. You know, you have the culture, you have the history of it. We brought that up in a previous episode. But what do you think? I mean, you have a better view on things. Do you think it's getting better?
In some places it is. I certainly think that there's more of a space being held for gender. And I hear younger men, for example, saying, you know, oh, my mom worked, you know, and she wasn't a stay-at-home mom. And so I have a lot more understanding or respect for women in the workplace than perhaps, you know, some of my older you know, counterparts do. When it comes to ethnicity and race, I think it that varies from organization to organization. And I won't say industry to industry. Well, to an extent, industry to industry, but certainly organization to organization, cultural and the organization culture. And I think that that's what really drives it. I wish that I could say, you know, as the cohorts get younger, that there's more openness and acceptance. But I've encountered young millennials and some Gen Zers who have very conservative supremacist views. It's still alive. It's still alive. Now, in terms of bringing your whole self to work and your culture and things like that, there is a space for that, I think, more so to accomplish diversity initiatives and to some degree compliance. I don't think that that often equates to inclusion. And so you can meet the numbers. You can say, oh, we have so many employees here and X number of these and X number of these. That's great on paper. But how are you allowing them to show up? And to what extent are they feeling a sense of belonging? And that's where I think we're really falling down.
Well, I guess the best thing that we can do is like what you're doing, right? You wrote the book. I've got my podcast, you know, trying to lift others up and say, you know, we got your back, girls. Just keep going, you know.
Well, and the book is not just, I said, I don't want this to just be a somebody done me wrong.
Right.
Okay. This is, there are tools in the book. And the reason I offer the tools, some free coaching to a degree, is because I don't think we can miss a beat, Yolanda. I think that each one of us who is committed to moving the needle has got to take advantage of any and every opportunity. When we hear something untoward, to say, call it out, that's not right. And really to just, death by a thousand cuts, right? To just really be intentional, consistent, and persistent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think part of what you're saying, though, is have a posse with you when you're in your strategy and in your plan. Don't be the lone ranger without the posse. Make sure the posse is with you and you have a network. I guess it depends on the environment you're into and who you're making the complaint or the observation to.
Full disclosure, I have a much higher risk tolerance than most people. So do not try this at home necessarily. But, it's great if you have a posse. It's great if you have air cover, support, sponsor, all that stuff. With what we're experiencing now, be inclined to say what you need to say. Because, it's not an if, it's a when. So maybe you let it go at that particular point in time. Well, that it wasn't directed to me, or I'm still okay, and I get it. We've got school loans, car notes, and mortgages, and they've got to be taken care of. So there's a lot at risk in some cases, but I also think that there's a way. I'm not suggesting that anybody be disrespectful, or there are ways to address things. There's typically an administrative process in most organizations and things like that, and so even without a perceived safety net or posse, I'm hoping that everyone will at least think about and explore what their options might be to address things.
I think, well, it's always, I think, a soul searching moment of finding your voice. Finding when you can observe, take the action. Sometimes it can be very automatic. I mean, I know in my case, sometimes it's just like enough, like I had mentioned.
Yeah.
But sometimes you can be a bit more strategic and be able to, what's the best way to move here? Like, I think you ask a couple questions. You say, every person of color needs to explore two critical questions as soon as possible. One, who are the decision makers in power? And two, what are their leanings regarding race, diversity, equity, and inclusion?
And that comes right back to the culture of the organization. And the more you know about the culture, the more you know how much margin you have.
Right.
But I will say, Yolanda, that when we are silent, when we don't take action, when we don't address something, when we don't push back, we're sending a message that it's okay. And that, for me personally, speaking for myself, that's just not okay, not with where we are, and not with all of the things that are being eroded. And so, yeah, I think there's always a choice to make. The other thing is that you end up wearing that. In the book, I talk about allostatic load, right? We could, and that's just the continuous and perpetual impact of the stress that's created from just tolerating this. You're upset. You feel demoralized, demeaned by something that was said or something that was done. So you carry that around. That shows up in emotional and mental challenges in some cases. It manifests in high blood pressure, weight gain, divorce. I mean, all kinds of ways. And so we don't deal with it. We don't process it. We just take it on. And so, I think we have choices to make. I just do. There, in a few circumstances, that might not be the case. But then I think in most cases, if we think it through, we can find a way.
I look at my own career and go, that first experience of walking around with Nurit and noting that there was just no fairness, I decided at that point, well, hell, I'm going to just go do it for myself. And I always took on what skill am I going to get with this? How am I building my own tool chest? And I moved around a fair amount. I got to the C-suite a couple times, but I look back and I think, I didn't really trust the organization to take care of me.
Right.
right?
Right.
I was going to just take care of my career, make sure I was getting more money, more advancement with each change that I made. I didn't take care really of myself or see how I could have been a tool to help others see things more holistically. I mean, I eventually got there, but it took time.
But you know, and you shared earlier, you know, we're both boomers. There was so much in transition over the arc of the time of our sweet spot in the workplace, if you will. When you think through, you know, late 70s, 80s, 90s, you know, that's when things were really changing. I think now, you know, we're on a different trajectory. And there are a lot more resources available and you know, outlets for us to learn how to do these things. It would have been exceptional for most of us to really understand how to navigate those circumstances over that period of time.
I know I started when I was about 29 or so, being able to look at, you know, something's off here. I don't know what it is. I can't see it, but there's something off here. You know, it was pretty difficult sometimes to see what was going on. But I think you've provided such a nice option for some of our younger generation listeners to say, there's a different way to do it.
Thank you. Thank you. That was my intent because there is a different way to do it. You just have to take it seriously. I cannot tell you how many people have kind of dismissed some of the things that I've brought forward in the book and then, you know, circle back. It's not an if, it's a when. A year, 2 years, you know, they don't get a promotion, they don't get a raise, they're terminated, you know, something. But they just didn't think any of that other stuff going on had anything to do with them. You know, we're all impacted. And we just got to pay attention. We've got to be better stewards of our careers and our own circumstances.
So I guess we're getting to the end of our episode here, and there was an amazing definition that you gave in the book. Do you mind sharing that with our listeners?
No, I'm happy to, and thank you for bringing it up. And just in talking about racism, you know, we immediately think about skin color, and certainly on the surface, in a very superficial way, that's where it starts. But racism really isn't about skin color. It's about money, opportunity, advancement, control, power, and nowhere are those machinations of this played out more succinctly than in the workplace? We experience this every day at work. And, you know, as I said earlier, just in the course, we're not trying to do anything fancy, nothing over the top, just trying to have a good life, right? Have a good quality of life for ourselves and our families. It's difficult. It's difficult. I say to people that core and technical competencies of your work are your day job. And the politics and strategy, you know, really needs to be taken on kind of as a term they're using as a side hustle, right? You need to pay attention.
Oh boy. Well, my heart feels, I don't know, very open and full right now. I guess talking to you, I feel like we've opened up and provided hope maybe for some of our listeners. So I appreciate you being here so much, Brenda.
Thank you. And that means a lot to me. I appreciate your holding this space. And I hope that your listeners value what you're doing to help them to have a more meaningful or more fruitful experience, you know.
As we close for today, do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about how they can be in touch with you?
Absolutely. I am on Instagram as Author B. Harrington. I can be found on LinkedIn. And the website for my company, Adaptive Leadership Strategies, is adaptiveleadershipstrategies.com. B. Harrington at adaptiveleadershipstrategies.com is my direct email. And finally, the website for the book is access-denied.net.
Great.
And if you go to the book website, I invite you to share your information so that we can stay in touch and that so that you can participate in discussion forums about some of the things we've talked about here today.
Oh, cool. Well, I'll definitely have that all in the show notes too, and our listeners to make it nice and easy for them. And is there anything else before we close that you'd like to share?
You know, if you ask any of my clients what my two favorite words are, expectations is one, and we talked about expectations earlier, and the other one's accountability. So I'm going to make myself accountable right now by saying that we're finalizing a workbook and workshop series that's associated with the book. And it will be a learning experience for organizational leaders to really have some uncomfortable conversations about race and disparities in the workplace, being up for legal review right now. And I hope for that to be completed and ready to go by the beginning of the third quarter of this year.
Yay. Well, she'll keep us in touch, listeners, on how that comes together. So
I
we'll.
absolutely will, yes.
All right. Thank you again, Brenda, for being here. Thanks, listeners, for being here too.
Thank you for having me.
Bye. Thank you for listening today, and we sure hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, please leave a comment wherever you listen to your podcast. Join our public Facebook group, Girl Take the Lead, or visit our website, girltaketheleadpod.com. We also have a new YouTube channel where your subscription would be appreciated. Once you're on YouTube, search at Girl Take the Lead. So the three takeaways from this episode were: one, no, you're not crazy. What has happened and is happening to you is real, and you need to trust your intuition. Two, being aware of the political game and your company culture is a necessity. And three, if we look at advancement like a game, then developing and trying different strategies are possible. Next week, Kelly Davis is joining us. Kelly is the co-host of the podcast, The Thesis Project, and she was in my Girl Scout troop. I totally love her and all the work she's doing at the University of Oslo in Norway. Can't wait to tell you all about it. Thanks for being here. Talk to you soon. Bye.